You're listening to Coach Your Brains Out by Gold Medal Squared. This show is brought... recording a podcast. This show is brought to you by our listeners and patrons. New patrons include Josh Marsh and Abby Sutherland. Thank you for all your support. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/coachyourbrainsout. Welcome to Coach Your Brains Out, the show that explores learning from the top minds in volleyball and beyond. With your hosts, John Mayer, Billy Allen, Andrew Fuller, and Nils Nielsen.
All right, today we're joined by professional skateboarder and eight-time X Games medalist, Paul Rodriguez. I could go on and on about his fame, accolades, and accomplishments, but I think that would just make Billy and I a little more nervous than we already are to have such a big-time guest on the show with us, so we'll just get into it. So, Paul, thanks so much for taking the time to speak with us tonight.
Of course. Thank you guys for having me. This is exciting.
Cool. So, before we get into the topic, which is going to be a lot with the mental side of things, I was wondering, when did you start skating, and when did you know it would be your life?
Yeah, that's a good question. I started skateboarding around Christmas time, 1996. So this Christmas coming up next month will be about 21 years of skating for me.
Wow.
My skateboarding is fully legal and adult now.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Have its first beer.
My second 21st birthday.
So do you consider yourself a skateboard prodigy? Did things come quickly for you, or do you have to work for them?
It's hard for me to say prodigy. You know, I did get recognized young. I wouldn't say that the actual physical ability of learning the tricks came easy. What came easy for me is just the joy of doing it. So I would spend hours would pass by and I wouldn't even know it. And I would just be in the backyard skating or with some friends skating behind a loading dock behind a grocery store. So it wasn't that like the tricks happened real easy. It's just I was so obsessed and time would just disappear when I was on my skateboard, and still that next thing you know, I'd skated, you know, 8 hours a day for, you know, 3 years in a row. And, you know, of course, that kind of amount of time dedicated to anything, you're going to get better. I guess it might have seemed fast, but it was just like utilizing every possible free second I had was spent skateboard.
Yeah, I think there's, I mean, two big things. There's the one thing that jumps out to me first is that you didn't start skating till you were 12. And I think, you know, a lot of parents and coaches, you know, they think I got to get my kid doing it, you know, from birth. Otherwise they won't be world-class. And I think just hearing that you didn't get into it till, you know, not late in life, but later in life. And then I think the other thing that people just think, you know, you're born with some sort of gene, you know, some sort of DNA for skateboarding. But clearly the gene that you had was your passion and your work ethic, which is really cool to hear.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, I agree with that. Like when people say like, you know, this person was a born natural, and I agree, there's people who may have certain physical abilities more advanced than anyone else or certain factors that may help, but really I believe, you know, like, you know, the human body and everything I believe is, you know, geared towards, you know, nature and survival and everything. It's not like when the cavemen were being born that, you know, the genetic code knew that something like skateboarding or any sport in general was going to be invented. So it's hard to say that like you were just born with a skateboarding gene, because, you know, how does, you know, I don't know if you want to get into a, you know, philosophical or a spiritual or whatever, but, you know, God or evolution or whatever people think of, how would that even know that skateboarding is something that can go into your genes? You know what I mean? Like, just a man-made thing. So I think it was more so, yeah, like you said, just the dedication and passion is I think where a lot of the talent lies.
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of there was a psychologist, Angela Duckworth. Mm-hmm. She did all these studies on grit, and what she found was that, you know, successful people, it was, you know, obviously talent's a factor, but successful people were really gritty. And she defined grit as having passion, which you said, you know, you had the joy, and then perseverance, like staying with it over time. And that's what equals success. And the cool thing is that, like, those are both controllable things. Like, you can find your passion and then you can work at it. So
100%. I completely agree with that, and grit and stuff like that. And like, just now being a little older and be able to look back and see things now that I wasn't able to necessarily comprehend at the time that I was doing it. But like that grit thing, that's an interesting thing, because like there's some people I know, like, who I have friends, even just in skateboarding, who weren't necessarily physically talented or super coordinated. They just had a lot of courage, you know, a lot of balls to try stuff that was like dangerous. And I wasn't one of those guys. Like, I wasn't a guy who was, I'm a bit of a, like, a scaredy cat, and I'm super like cautious and calculated. I don't just throw caution to the wind and just go for it. Like, let me see, like, okay, we're here at a 15 stair. I'm just going to go for it. We'll see whatever happens. Like, so for me, like, I don't consider myself your typical, like, tough guy or able to take more pain than the next man. And that's why I was able to, you know, like, for me, what I learned is, like, the more I was in love with skateboarding, the more punishment I was willing to take for it. Mm. But like, you know, like if I were just like, you put me in a boxing ring and somebody start punching me, I'm gonna be like, okay, I'm done. I'm done. Like, because I don't have the passion and love for that to push me through the hardships and the difficulties. For whatever reason, skateboarding gave me that thrill and rush. So if I got a slam on the concrete or have my board hit me in the shin in the same spot 17 million times that day because I'm trying a certain trick and it just keeps hitting me in the same spot, you know, like, so I'm not your typical, like, I wouldn't thought that I was like a gritty person, but now looking back at it, I think it's just like, when you love something that much, when it just, for whatever reason, just does it for your soul, you're willing to take a little more pain and go through a little bit more discomfort than you would normally be willing to do for anything else.
And sorry, one more follow-up. It's kind of going with the, especially the parenting thing. Mm-hmm. Was this like pushed on you by your parents, or was it you found this love?
Oh, no, not at all. See, that's what I'm, it's so interesting being a skateboarder. And then, you know, like skateboarders, yes, we're athletes because we, you know, it takes a lot of athletic ability. But like, we don't necessarily think of ourselves as athletes or doing like a sport. So when I talk to other athletes who are in more traditional sports, like team sports and sports that are more institutions that have a certain way of, like, so much history of how to train for it, how to work for it, how to practice for it. I kind of look at it back, and I might be getting off subject here, but I kind of look back at it and think it's kind of lucky because oh my God, I'm so sorry. I forgot. What was the original question? Because I was having a point there, and then I just went off.
No, I think you were going with how that, you know, skateboarding's not a sport that, like, parents are like, oh, my kid's got to.
Oh, that's what it was.
Like, okay, you found it on your own.
Yes, I found it on my own. I stumbled on my own. I'd played, you know, baseball and basketball, little league, and on my little school teams, and I always enjoyed them and had fun. But I always had to, like, in order to fully get the experience, you had to have another person or more people, multiple people to play the game with. And I kind of, when I get obsessed, I get obsessed. And skateboarding was kind of the perfect thing. Like, I don't have to wait. Like, obviously, I wanted to go skate with friends and learn, but it was something I could do on my own. So, and at the time I started skateboarding, it wasn't a thing that, like, now that happens. Parents push kids into it and, you know, kind of do the, I see a couple parents who do the kind of what Tiger Woods' dad did with Tiger, that type of thing. You're starting to see those type of parents in skateboarding. But when I started, there wasn't that. And that's why, like, as you mentioned earlier, I started maybe like compared to other sports, I started a little late, but for skateboarding at the time I started, that was kind of a normal time to start. Now you're starting to see young kids because of the parents coming in. So now my parents, they were supportive and super open-minded. They never pushed me in any direction, at least not in the sports world. Skateboarding was just something I stumbled across in seventh grade, and I fell in love with it, and it just blindsided my whole life.
Cool. Well, it's awesome that passion is such a huge factor in your success. How does the mental approach that you take factor into your success? And can you kind of go into that for us?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's so many places I could start with that question. I definitely, as a young kid, I didn't understand the mental aspect the way I do now, reflecting back on it. I was just a kid following my heart. But as I became a professional and then I started winning some competitions of notoriety, what had happened was, in my mind, I kind of accidentally won some big contests. Like, I accidentally won X Games the first time I entered. Not the first time I entered, but the first time I won it was kind of an accident. I wasn't going there, like, prepared, planning for it or anything. I had got invited, and I was just skating the way I normally do all the time. And then, okay, today I got to go to a competition, and I'm going to skate. And I kind of stumbled into it, and I ended up winning. I just got into a zone. I had no expectations, no anything. And I was kind of free to just do everything, and everything was working, and I won. And then I came back the second year, and I did it again with the same kind of fluke situation. Obviously, I was skating a lot, many hours a day, but I wasn't skating with a focused concentration of, like, I have this competition coming up, I'm working towards it. It was just, I'm just skating, and I'm always trying to just learn and get better. And that's kind of how I stumbled into those two. But then the third year, I went back, and those two wins prior got into my head. And we're like, oh my God, you did it twice. Now, can you do it again? And, oh, well, you can't do it again. And I was trying to, like, tell myself, whatever. You know, I don't care anyway. I don't care. Competitions don't really mean that much to me. I'm a street skater. I do video parts, whatever. It doesn't mean much. And I went, and I was fooling myself. Obviously, I wanted to win three times in a row. That would have been incredible for me. But I ended up, you know, totally choking that third year. I don't even know what I got. I can't even remember what I got. I didn't medal. And that's the beginning of my relationship with the mental aspects of skateboarding or high-pressure situations. Because before that, it was just a kid being free, skating just excessive amounts of times, and just accidentally being so prepared for anything and winning. To now, it's like, okay, now I have to learn how to consciously aim my goal at a target, and when the moment comes and it's do or die right here, right now, I'm going to consciously do it on purpose. And that was a whole different ballgame than I was used to doing. And so that's when I started just experimenting with, like, meditation. You know, I was, at this time, I was, what was I? I was 19. No, by the third one, I was 20. So I'm 20 years old or so. And skateboarding, we don't have any coaches. We have no kind of, like, mentors in that sense of, like, how to help in that aspect of things. So I'm just taking a stab at the dark. I come across, I'm sure you guys have heard of him, Eckhart Tolle, The Power of Now, and many books that he's written. I come across the whole, you know, philosophy he kind of had of the power of now, being in the moment, being the state of no mind. And I found that really cool, and I would be listening to the audiobook. So I would just start experimenting with clearing my mind and trying to live in the moment without having an incessant, like, train of thought constantly just chirping away in your brain that we all have and that we all struggle with. And then I started learning about, like, you know, like, you have a say in what goes in your mind. You can choose what wavelength to think on. You can choose to think in a positive way or a negative way. And it was just little experimentation. So, like, one audio book or actual book would lead me to another one. And I would just kind of go to Barnes and Noble and walk around in, like, the self-help areas and just look for different meditation books and things like that and just start messing with it. So now that's led me to, I guess, just trying to live in the moment always, so that it's, so whether you're in a high pressure situation or just in a regular everyday situation, there's no mental change. Your mind is just living in the moment from one moment to the next. Okay. Oh, we're at a competition. Okay. Well, now it's time to skate the competition. Now it's time to do what you know you can do, that your body's trained to do. Oh, the competition's over. Now it's time for dinner. Okay. Now it's time just to grab a plate or get a menu, order a dish, you know, like just try and not put an extra excitement onto any particular event or moment. It's just one second to the next. Like, let me just handle this moment and take care of this moment, and the next moment will take care of itself, kind of attitude. Now, I'm no Zen master. Still, here I am 10, 12 years later, you know, struggling. I have better days than others, but, you know, that's still the constant kind of thing that I'm chasing, is just the state of no mind, I guess, is what some people call it.
And Paul, in that state, what you're trying to find, have you found a way to get back to skating loose and carefree like before? Or is that time just passed now? You just have to look at it like it is a high pressure situation and just deal with it.
I've had both moments. I've had moments where, like, certain days, everything was kind of clicking and it was easy to kind of just be in the moment and just, you know, do your natural thing free. But then I've had moments where it's been a challenge and I've ended up doing good on those times. I've had moments where I've had a lot of doubts creeping in, or I would see somebody else skating really good and I'm like, man, how am I going to even compete with the way they're skating today? They're so on point. Like, oh my God, you know, I've had those things and I've learned, I've gone to sports psychologists and read many books and, you know, prayers and meditation. And it's, I think it's like a combination of all of these type of things, but I've learned in those tough moments to embrace them, and they kind of excite me now, because now it's like another challenge. Like, you have the challenge of the actual competition of being on the skateboard, but now it's a challenge of, like, all right, controlling my mind. I like this game. Okay, I'm having some nerves, I'm having some doubts. Now it's like seeing if my positivity can be stronger than my negativity. So I've learned to really just try and focus on what you want and never on what you do not want. So in those negative times where it's a little harder to stay in a Zen-like mentality, I've learned to just concentrate, let the nerves settle, let the nerves be there. They're there. A lot of times you try to fight the nerves, they actually enhance, at least for me. If I have shaky knees, I just let them shake, and I just focus on breathing and breathe. And then I just visualize, you know, normally now, if I'm in a competition, I have every inch of it planned out, every trick I'm going to do, every section planned out to the T. So I just put on this little, like, I'll close my eyes even, especially if I'm in a quiet place by myself, and I'll just visualize each trick one at a time, go through the whole competition in my mind and just see it over and over again. And, you know, if negative things pop in, I just quickly just overflow with, you know, visualizing the right way of it going down. If I accidentally see a mess up, then I'm like, ah, let me get that out of my mind. Let me throw in a million recaps of seeing myself doing it the way I want it to be. So it's a hard time for me to actually verbalize it, because I never really take the time to, like, verbalize the process, but it is a process. But it all comes down to just, I've learned to look only at where you want to go, not where you want to go, or think only of what you want to happen and never of what you don't want to happen. Because, you know, I could be as conscious and as concentrated, as focused as I can on executing a certain trick just the way I want it and still mess up a million times. So I don't need to help myself mess up, because messing up does it all on its own anyway. So I don't need to give it any help. What I need to do is give myself some help on the successful execution of what I'm trying to do. So I only let my mind replay, visualize exactly what I want to see happen, and I only just concentrate on that. And for me, I've found good results, and I've found that that's helped me power through nerves and kind of work with the nerves rather than try to ignore them and pretend like they're not there.
Well, that's awesome. So much good stuff there. The visualization, I think recognizing kind of your emotions and being okay with them. Gosh, there's a lot of good takeaways there. I'm wondering if you don't mind, or if you have one, if you have a specific story, maybe when you're younger or even more recently, if when you really struggled with kind of the mental game, or, you know, some sort of mental struggle. I don't know if one jumps out at you. And if you could say, like, kind of what you felt led to it. Was it because you didn't do your visualization? You didn't prepare right? I don't know if any of that comes to mind.
Yeah, well, I got a ton of, you know, there's not a one particular time of bad times, because I got a lot of bad. I got a lot of times where it didn't work out the way I wanted, of course. But I do remember one specific time where I was having a particularly hard time physically. Like, just for some reason, we've all been there as athletes. Like, even if your mind feels good, for some reason, your coordination is just a little off, or your balance is just not there for whatever reason. You can't even put a finger on it, and you have to try and work with how your instrument is behaving that day, and it is what it is. So this was back in 2008. It was in Seattle. It was a competition. I don't even think they hold it anymore. It was the LG Championships, like the LG company, like phones and TVs or whatever. They used to hold the championship every year. And I started off pretty good in the first section, did good. I was in striking distance of, you know, podium. I went into the second segment and I started falling apart. I landed a couple tricks, and then I had a collision with another guy. We collided right in the middle, because, like, the way they were doing it was these heats where they give, like, 6 or 7 people 5 minutes on a certain section of the skate park, and it's mayhem. Everybody's going in every direction trying to get as many tricks as they can in within 5 minutes. And I ended up, you know, in the mayhem, being so in your zone, trying to get what you're trying to get accomplished, colliding with someone. And I remember, like, feeling my brain shake inside of my skull, like, oh my gosh, like, it rocked me. I wasn't ready for it. And both of us, we hit, we got dazed, we're like looking around. I'm like, I didn't know where my skateboard went. I had to find it and run across the course and find it. And, like, something about when that hit me, it, like, before that happened, I was kind of falling apart in that second section. Nothing was working. And then when it hit me, it was like a different mind state took over. Like, I was dizzy and all that. But for some reason, it, like, frustrated me. I was so upset that, like, I decided not to care about, you know, that I started off rocky, or that I had just collided with the guy and I was, like, you know, a little bit dizzy or whatever. I gave it a few seconds, breathed, whatever. And all of a sudden, the tricks started happening. And from that point on to the rest of the contest, like, it just clicked, and I just started landing everything, and I was able to pull away with the win that day. And I don't know even what to say about that. Like, that type of stuff can sometimes happen. You can get hurt, or you can, you know, get something can just, like, rock you and actually shake you into where you need to be mentally or physically. So I don't know. For some reason, that story stands out. That's not necessarily
anything. Yeah. I think one nice takeaway is that I think you can be having a bad day, and that doesn't mean it has to stay that way. Like, you,
yes,
whether, you know, something can happen, or you can change your mindset. And, like, I think it's easy just to write this story of, like, oh, it's a bad day, so I'm done. But it's cool that you were able to find something to switch that. And I think it's good to, like, experience those sorts of things and realize that.
Oh, you have to, man. And, like, that's perfect what you just said, you know, as far as the takeaway. But that's what I've learned is the quality of like a real champion, no matter in what sport or where you, across the board, is like the definition to me is basically someone who's not willing to give up on themselves. Just because you didn't win that day doesn't mean you're not a champion. A champion is kind of a way of life. It's a mentality. It's kind of a spirit that someone embodies. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because most sports, you lose a lot more than you actually win, but it's like, it's the bounce back.
Yeah,
it's huge. Paul, how often do you work on your mental game compared to physical training or skating? And like, how do you weave that into your training, I guess, in a normal week? Is it more leading up to a competition?
You know, I do it. I would say I do it equally. You know, obviously the physical aspect is super important, keeping your body in tip-top shape. Whether it be, you know, skating so many hours a day or working out in the gym or just like recovery, rolling out, icing, all that kind of good stuff. But for me, I do a lot of meditation, especially going into a competition season. I'm a person who believes in a higher power. So I do a lot of prayer and a lot of meditation. And for me, that does the trick. You know, something about it just, you know, when I go to bed at night and I just get in a zone and I just visualize the upcoming event or competition, especially because like once they give us the course layout, and they'll send an email out a few weeks early, give us the course layout on a rendering so you can kind of see what the course is. I have tricks mapped out and planned out. So then every night once I have it all figured out in my head, I'm laying down and I'm just watching myself from beginning to end, like over and over. And I get into this meditative kind of zone and space. And that way the next day when I wake up, I'm so excited about everything that I was visualizing. I go to the skate park or wherever I'm skating that day. And I try to, you know, mimic certain obstacles that I know are at the upcoming event. And I try and I work on the specific tricks that I visualize myself doing that I think will be, you know, winning contender type tricks. And I just try and do everything that I was visualizing the night before. I try to do it all now physically in real life, in reality. And then once I do a bunch of those all day long, then I go home again that night and I visualize now having done the tricks and everything that I'm visualizing. Now I'm visualizing not only doing the trick at the competition, but now I'm feeling what it feels like too. I'm visualizing how it feels, certain muscles that I'm using, the order that like the movements have to go in. And like I'm laying there, I'm sure everyone, you guys experience that when you visualize yourself, you can feel your body movement. Even if you're just laying down, you can visualize how that feels as well. So I just kind of keep doing that every day, day and night. And for me, that's something that really helps me when I go there to the competition. I'm finally there that day. It helps me with the confidence. It helps me, you know, avoid going down negative mental processes. You know, I know everything that I want to do. I've done it a million times by this point. And now it's just about letting your body do what it's trained to do and getting out of your own way. So that's kind of what it is for me.
And is self-talk important to you? And if so, I guess
100%.
Yeah. Well, what type of things do you say to yourself to bring out the best skater?
So even, I could say a lot of things on any given day. For me, a big thing that helps is like a certain anchor. So like if I'm at a certain point in the competition, I'm just about to, you know, I can see my turn is coming up next for my run or whatever. I focus on just little parts of the trick, not even the full trick. Also, like say if I'm skating, you know, a handrail, I'll be rolling up and I'll just focus on a certain thing, like get your truck on, get your front truck on, get your front truck. And I'll just repeat that in my mind a million times. I won't focus on anything else but getting my front truck on the rail the way I want, because once it's locked in, then the rest is all good. So I'll just like these little anchor points, like, feel your board pop. And it might not make sense to anyone else, but that's fine because it's just saying it to myself. And I'll just focus on these one trigger And for some reason, for me, that comforts me and calms me, because now my mind is not thinking about, oh, well, what if I'm going too slow and I mess up? Or what if I'm going too fast and I overshoot? What if I, like, miss my flick? I don't let it – if I have those start coming into my mind, the what ifs, the what if this, what if that, I just try and go over those thoughts louder with the trigger thought of just pop. Just focus on your pop. Just pop. Just pop. Just pop. And that'll help me – kind of clear those negative thoughts and just focus on one thing that I can just hold on to, and it works for me, man.
Did you have someone teach you that, or did you figure that out on your own?
I wouldn't say I figured it out on my own, but through all the years of, like, it's kind of become its own formula now. Like, you know, like I started out, like I was saying, with Eckhart Tolle. I stumbled across that when I was, like, you know, 19, 20 years old. And then I would just read all kinds of different books, like Zen Mind, Beginner Mind. I would read the Book of the Samurai. I was really fascinated with, like, ninjas and samurais and things like that, because there's a lot of mental game that goes on with warriors. You got people going in on a life or death situation. Talk about high pressure. These guys are going in life and death situations. So I would just start reading, like, books like that, or watching documentaries, or reading. I'm a huge Bruce Lee fan, so I'll read all his books, and I can tell that he was reading some of the same philosophies that I was reading, because he would have certain quotes straight out of books that I had already just read before that. And I'm like, okay, well, Bruce Lee read those books and he's taking out some of these quotes, I'm on the right path. And then, you know, I've gone to a couple different sports psychologists. Over time, I've gone to hypnotherapists. I've tried it all. And so awesome. I think over the years of doing everything of all these different kind of things, I've kind of been able to create my own personal formula that works for me, and that it's constantly evolving and changing. So I might now hear something out of a random movie that helps me, but I've trained my mind to kind of look for good mental health opportunities, kind of like a skateboarder. Like now, for instance, you guys might not be driving down the street and notice, oh, look it, there's a 10 stair right there. Like, that might not be your normal thing. But for me, my eyes and my brain is just trained. If I'm driving down the street and I see, oh, look at that handrail, that's incredible, I'll notice these random architectural features just out in the wild, in the city, in the streets or whatever, and that the average person might not notice, because they haven't spent 20 years training themselves to look for these things. So that's kind of what it's been for me, is like I've spent the last, you know, 10, 12 years mentally trying to evolve and grow and help myself in that aspect, to where I can kind of pull from anything. Like, for instance, there's this movie with Mark Wahlberg, Shooter, where he's a sniper, a retired sniper. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but he says a line in there when they're talking about him shooting in high pressure situations, and they want him to, like, catch this sniper that's supposed to kill the president. So he's got to get into the sniper's mind. And I don't know, long story short, he says this line where he says, slow is smooth and smooth is fast. And for me, I was watching the movie and I heard that, and I was like, that's brilliant. I need that. I got to write that down. And I've remembered it ever since, because slow is smooth and smooth is fast. Because a lot of times when I screw up really bad, is because I'm like, I have this nervous energy and it's causing me to rush and like move faster than my brain. So like I'm not thinking, I'm not concentrating, I'm just kind of stumbling over myself. I'm sure maybe you guys and lots of other athletes have experienced that feeling of just being so over adrenaline and nerves, and just you're like flustered and you can't pull it together, and you're trying to like force it. But he was just talking about breathing, and then slow is smooth, and when you're smooth, it's fast. So you'll get the result you want by taking the step back, taking a breather, visualizing, what am I doing? Where am I at? Okay, am I going fast enough? Like, just taking that step back. So I guess my formula, it's just kind of, it's taking its own, it's a mind of its own, I guess.
So, Paul, there's a
there's
a video on trainugly.com of a skateboarder trying a trick over and over and falling and falling.
Yeah.
And after a ton of falls and frustration, he finally gets it. Can you talk a little bit about how you handle that kind of frustration versus
100%?
Yeah, that kind of, that instant gratification we often look for.
Yeah. So that right there is, you know, that's the everyday struggle for every skateboarder who's really trying to learn, you know. Because if you're not going through that struggle, then you're not challenging yourself enough. Then you're not trying to improve. You're just kind of going through the motions. That to me is what's so precious about skateboarding, is the persistence, the dedication, the willingness to take the falls, the slams, the willingness to go through the mental stress of like, oh my gosh, why can't I just do it? I can see how it's done. Why won't my body just listen to what I needed to do? Or why is it, you know, like something about it over the years for me, I fell in love with that process. I realized how awesome that process is, that because like you had, when you're a kid, you have nobody there. When you're out skating with your friend, you have no one there to tell you, come on, get up, try again, get up, try again. Like, that's why maybe some kids quit skating sooner than other kids, because maybe they didn't have that person there, like, get up, dig deep, push. But the ones who just naturally loved it that much, it was kind of a natural instinct for them to get up, try again, get up, try again. Well, I've already tried, you know, 50 times, and I've messed up every possible way you can possibly mess up. So that means I'm bound to finally land it and do it the way, you know, that I visualize it being done, because I've done every other possible, you know, scenario. So I'm due for the land. It's coming soon. You can feel it approaching, and that'll keep you pushing and pushing and pushing. That's the kind of way I've started coming into looking at that, because that's I don't care if you're high elite top level professional, or you're, you know, a kid, you know, at the local skate park dreaming to, you know, become a professional, that exact scenario never stops.
I can imagine. I mean, I haven't skated very much, but I think as in my own career trying to get better, I've failed often. But
totally.
If people get a chance to look at the video, and I'm sure there's videos of you and maybe similar circumstances. Mm-hmm. This video, we'll link it on the show notes. But I thought there was a really cool moment in it. Did you get a chance to watch it?
Yeah, I watched it. Yep.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool when, I mean, you see this guy like fail. Yeah, he's like, I found it, and he points at his brain. He's like, I found it. I got it.
Yeah.
And I think the cool thing is like it wasn't because of like that one last rep that he did. It was because of the like 50 fails before that he found it. Uh-huh. And I think that's just something that people really have to remember. It's like you keep pounding the rock, pounding the stone, and it's all these, you know, all these pounds before that did the work to like finally break the stone. So
yeah,
I don't know,
man.
What's that feeling feel like when you find? Yeah, what does it feel like for you, like when you find it?
Is
it?
It's, I mean, that's the feeling, no different than, you know, the reason you fell in love with your sport. You know what I mean? I would imagine the same feeling, the same rush you get, is the same rush and feeling I get landing a trick, or the same feeling or rush that a photographer gets when they capture that picture at the perfect lighting in nature, that it was just the perfect, everything aligned. You know, I don't know what exactly it is, but it's like so euphoric. It's so worth it. Everything that you went through, all the other slams and everything, when you finally roll away and you did exactly what you had seen in your mind for however long before you tried it. Something about, for me, having something in your mind that you can see clearly in your mind, and then it actually being a physical reality out there in the physical world being seen, something about that process for me, it just fascinates me. Mm. And I love the fact that you can bring pictures in your mind into a real physical reality in the external world. So I don't know. That's what I fell in love with, because I originally wasn't a competitive skater. I never even, you know, I just had got invited to the X Games. I had turned pro and I had got invited. You can only do it by invite only. You can't qualify for it or earn your way there. They just pick, hey, we want you to come. And I was just a pure street skater doing exactly what that guy in the video was doing, going out in street spots, skating, trying things over and over, going through all kinds of obstacles, and just trying to get new, innovative, progressive tricks on film to put out for the rest of the community to see. So that's what I fell in love with. And I think that process, what I love about skateboarding is that the lessons you learn from that are applicable to every other aspects of life, every other facet.
You know? I don't follow skateboarding that closely, or like, you know, mm-hmm. Just from afar, but is it common for people to put up videos of them failing? And if not, is it? Okay, cool. Cause I think there's so much value. I think like so often we see, you know, ESPN, you see the highlights, you see all the great mm-hmm. stuff, but I think seeing stuff like that, I think will help people, you know, delay gratification and stay persistent.
Yeah. Yeah. Because there's really no such thing as instant gratification. In my opinion, you know, anything really worth it is not going to just happen that way. Otherwise it wouldn't be worth it. Otherwise
Right. Everyone
would be doing it. You know what I mean? You know, what is a real instant gratification that you can really think of? What, like, you know, maybe, you know, turning on a TV show that you've been waiting to watch, like, oh, The Walking Dead's back on, boom, I get to watch it. But like, or, you know, now we have DVR, you can fast forward through commercial. That's like instant gratification. But like, as far as in the physical world, like in sports or anything, like it's years upon years of effort and joy and fun that finally allows you that one day to do something spectacular that looks like it just happened right here instantly in front of everybody, but really is a result of just years and years and years and hours of just failures and failures and failures till finally the one day. It's like when you're baking something in the oven, like, you know, you bake it for 5 minutes, it's not baked properly, but you know, 25-30 minutes later, bing, the timer goes off and it's baked to perfection. That's kind of how it happens in skateboarding, and I think in any other sport is like you just have to keep at it until one day your oven timer goes ding, and it's like all those years of effort and everything beforehand kind of comes to a head and is finally baked in the perfect recipe and you have arrived type situation, you know?
I think that's been Billy's problem, is he's always been microwaving.
Yeah.
Yeah, Billy, you gotta get in the oven, man.
Yeah, man. Slow it down.
So Paul,
that's so funny.
Paul, we met you working out at Body Dynamics in the Valley.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's my understanding that lifting wasn't a huge part of skateboarding culture. I guess no. What made you hit the gym, and what benefits have you seen?
Yeah, man, so many countless benefits. You're right. It's not a traditional thing in skateboarding. Skateboarding is so counterculture, so like, you know, to the point where even today, really, I don't really talk about it much, especially not to the skateboarding community or like on my Instagram. I never post videos working out or anything. Like, not that I'm ashamed or embarrassed. I personally love it. It's part of my lifestyle at this point. But yeah, it's totally a thing that was just like, what do you mean you work out, dude? You skate. That's your workout. What do you mean? Like, it's like, yeah, when you're 15, 16 and you're rubber, you're made of rubber and you're invincible, yeah, you can get away with that. But like, you know, I started working out like seriously with a trainer when I was about 23, and it was a natural evolution for me. It wasn't like I had an injury and I had to rehab. Like I see a lot of guys now, they'll have an injury and they'll rehab and they'll go work out through their rehab, and then after they've healed, they just continue with it because it became part of their lifestyle and they liked the results they were getting. But for me, it was like same thing with the reading Eckhart Tolle and reading you know, different type of self-help books and trying to work on my mental game. It was just a natural thing that I came to strictly out of the desire of wanting to get better at skateboarding. I want to get that my brain, like as a kid, I didn't understand what was happening with me, but I loved it so much that I was obsessed. How can I get better at skateboarding? How can I get better at skateboarding? How can I improve? How can I improve? To where like just that desire itself naturally led me to experimentation with different things. And it's like, dude, I grew up in the Michael Jordan era, and you know, I watched Kobe come into the league. So for me, even though I didn't play basketball on a serious level, Michael Jordan was always a huge hero to me, a huge inspiration to me. And I'm looking at him and I always remember thinking, I want to be like a Michael Jordan. but in skateboarding. I want to be like a Kobe, but in skateboarding. I want to be like all these great people that I look up to, like Bruce Lee, but in skateboarding. So I started studying them, reading books on them, documentaries on them. And I'm like, why is it cool for Michael Jordan to work out, but I can't? You know what I mean? Mm. Why is that okay? You know, so, you know, I started working out. I worked with this trainer, Todd Jacobs, back in 2008. He was a guy who worked with Travis Pastrana, and he had never worked with a skateboarder before. And I met with him, and I just really liked his energy. And that year that I was working with him, he worked a lot with me mentally as well as physically. And I was like winning a lot of competitions that year that I worked with him, and I didn't get anything under second place that whole season. And I was like, man, there's really something to this. And then I met Alex Laws, who you've seen me train with in there, trained with her for many years. And I just liked the results my body would get. And now I'm still training over there at BDX. I guess it's just, I'm going on a tangent. I'm sorry. I know I'm getting off, but, it just comes from like asking yourself the right questions. Like my question to myself throughout my skateboarding, how can I be better? How can I continuously improve? There's no limit to how much you can improve. So I was like, all right, I'm getting into my early to mid 20s. I'm starting to feel like, whoa, soreness. What's this? I never felt this before. Feeling aches and pains. I never felt this before. So I would go in there and see Dr. Eddie, you know, have him, you know, if I had a sore knee or back or whatever, and, you know, he'll fix you up. And I was like, okay, so I don't have to go by what my age says. I can go by how my body feels, and my body can feel good for however long I want, as long as I take care of it. So for me, it just became my lifestyle. Once I started seeing little results, then I want it more like a shark smelling blood and water. Like I see a little bit of results. Wow, I can totally feel that exercise I've been doing. It really helped me with my explosiveness, or I was able to take that slam a lot better. You know, I was tucked and rolled, and I hit my shoulder on this right spot, but there's a little bit more meat on the bone there, and I was able to take the hit a lot easier than I would have before. And I would just start putting two and two together, and like, I love this. I need to do more of this. What else can I do? You know?
Yeah, and Dr. Eddie said that you're big on balance, and that you taught yourself to skate both goofy and regular, and that you even learned how to play guitar both ways. Is that true? And why is that important to you?
I don't know why it's important. I have this weird thing where I like being even. I like being symmetrical, like even on both sides. When I was a little kid, on the playground in like second, third grade, I would play tetherball a lot, but I had to be able to play left-handed and right-handed. I don't know why it was like a thing for me. It was just like a thing that I liked. I was like, I didn't understand. Why couldn't I use this hand the same way I can use this hand? And so I started playing guitar, and that happened because my favorite guitar player was Jimi Hendrix, and he played left-handed. And I'm naturally a left-handed person. I write, throw everything left-handed, but yet I played guitar right-handed. I was like, what is this about? I want to play like my hero Jimmy left-handed. So I restrung my guitar, and I had been taking guitar lessons for a while, and I decided to just mimic everything I was doing in the right-handed position and try and mimic it the opposite way, because I wanted to play like Jimi Hendrix. And not to mention, my favorite band was Nirvana, and Kurt Cobain, he played left-handed as well. And I was like, man, I gotta play like my lefty brothers over here, like my heroes. And so that's how that came into play, and I started being able to play guitar just as good both ways. And then so when I started skateboarding, I had already had this history of kind of doing that. And in skateboarding, there is, you know, a big thing, switch and regular skateboarding, and it just seemed right up my alley. Perfect. I like being even and symmetrical anyway. So if I can learn this trick going this direction, then why can't I learn it going that direction? I don't know. Yeah, that's just something I took to.
It's cool. It's cool. Yeah. I love all your mentors. I mean, Bruce Lee, Hendrix, Kurt Cobain. You got some good ones in there.
I like a good mix.
I'm very impressed by the guitar playing. I can barely play right-handed, so.
I mean, don't get it twisted. I'm not that great either way, but I'm just as bad both ways on the guitar.
Nice. Oh, that's good.
or so just balanced. As good, however you want to look. Yeah, I'm equal at them. Nice. Whether that's good or bad, that's not for me to say.
Yeah, I think it's just impressive, I guess, that you attempted it. I think it shows a lot tells a lot about you. And we're kind of wrapping up. I think you've answered this, but maybe this will help kind of put a bow on this. But, you know, there's millions of talented skateboarders around the world. What do you think has separated you from them to become world class?
Man, that could be a really long answer. It really comes down to it's definitely not a natural genetic gift, because you've seen me before, dude. I'm 5'8". I'm nothing. I'm not a huge, big physical specimen or anything supernatural about me. So it's definitely not that I have this crazy ability to jump high or do anything that is out of the realm for most anybody else. I think it was just really a true, like, obsessive, like, sickness that I have or had and have for skateboarding. Like, no different, I swear, you know, I don't know if this is a great example, but it's really comparable. No different than, like, a crackhead obsession for crack. It's the same kind of thing. Like, it's an addiction. It's, I have to do it. If I don't do it, I'm upset. I'm in a bad mood. I'm cranky. Especially when I was a teenager and, like, you know, my school would start slipping and my mom would, that was the threat. You know, if you don't get your grades up, you cannot go skate. That would devastate me. You know what I mean? Like, so I would have to fix my grades up, or I would, even if she did take my board away, I would have a secret board stashed somewhere in the garage that when she wasn't at home, I would go in the backyard and skate and sneak it. Like, it was those are like drug person kind of behaviors, drug addict behaviors. So I was addicted, and to me, like, that was the key. You got to find something that you love, like that you love so much that you can't function without it, or you don't feel like you can function without it. You can't go to sleep at night because you're thinking about more and more things you can do, and you're just wide awake in the middle of the night. And it just, like, you know, you miss out on holidays and family gatherings because you're out tinkering with your skateboard. Like, that's just kind of like what happened to me. And I can only give that credit and thankfulness to God, but give that credit to that obsession. That you can't be that obsessed and that dedicated to something and not get better at it and not improve at it. It's impossible, you know?
And Paul, at this point, does skateboarding feel like work, or is it still fun? Is it both?
It's super fun. No, it doesn't feel like work. I've actually, this past 6 months or so, gone through a completely different transition that I didn't even, it's really foreign to me, because the past 20 years have been nothing but pure obsessive skateboarding dedication. But I feel I just feel good, you know, like, I feel like every dream that I ever had as a 12-year-old starting skateboarding, every dream and goal I ever had in skateboarding, I have accomplished. And there's some things that I've done that I didn't even dream of that young, because I didn't even know that they were within the realm of possibility. So I've done everything I've set out to do, and thank God more that, like, I'm at this place of real, like, kind of peace with skateboarding. Like, I don't feel like I have anything to prove. I don't have to go prove and show that I'm still this or that. Like, I just feel good. Like, I feel like my place is solidified. I've contributed so much to the culture, to skateboarding, that I just feel proud. And so now it really feels to me almost like my hobby again. I like going out. I just like feeling the feeling of rolling on my board, you know, the feeling of grinding on a ledge. And, you know, I'm still pushing myself. I'm still learning new tricks and trying new things. But it's not with this kind of like rabid intensity that it has been for the past 20 years, which it's kind of really weird to me, a little bit scary. But at the same time, like, hey, man, you know what? You earned it. It's okay to just not have this obsessiveness to try and conquer, dominate, blah, blah, blah. Like, you did your thing, man. You did your thing, And now I just go out there and just enjoy it. It's like skateboarding is becoming my hobby again.
Well, congrats. I mean, that's got to be a
thanks.
Be a nice feeling.
it's super nice. Yeah. It is nice, but it's just foreign to me because, you know, I'm 32 now, going on 33. So this is out for the past 20, 21 years, which is the majority of my life. That's all I know. So now it's kind of like foreign. I'm coming out of this fog and I'm like, whoa, there's a whole world out there. What is the next thing that I can latch on and obsess over now? What's the next phase? All these lessons and all these things that I've learned through skateboarding, whether it be the physical aspect, the mental aspect, all these things I've been through, I have this so much knowledge now, and I'm still young in the scope of that the scope of life. Now, where can I go and apply this knowledge and sink my teeth into next? That's kind of like the feeling I'm having.
Yeah, Paul, cool. you mentioned how skateboarding was good and taught you a lot of stuff for the rest of your life. I guess, how else have you applied these lessons in your life?
Yeah, man. I mean, just like that video that you guys sent me the link of that guy, that it's the biggest thing, the word that comes to mind is just persistence and dedication. Like, you know, I've gone into a few different business ventures now, and I've learned the hits you take aren't necessarily physical, but they hurt just as much. That's for sure. You know, when things don't go right on an investment or when things do go right, it feels amazing. So like I've learned just in life and the different areas I want to go, I'm not afraid to fail. I'm not afraid to hear the word no. I'm not afraid to do that. And I think in not being afraid to hear no or to fail, it gives you so much more freedom to do something to the fullest and actually have a much better chance of succeeding at it, because you don't have this subconscious kind of like this subconscious like chain wrapped around you holding you back that sometimes you don't even realize is there. Like right now I've been actually pursuing doing some acting. I've been taking some acting classes, going out on lots of auditions. And to me, skateboarding has helped me so much in the sense of I'm not, you know, Brad Pitt or nothing as far as the skills, but I believe in myself. I've already learned something and mastered something and I've learned how to learn. So now I can apply those same processes to this craft. How can I be better? What can I do to improve as an actor? How can I understand these things better? Or when I go on auditions, I go on at least 2-3 auditions a week. And, you know, I gotten one of them over the past 3-4 months that I've been going. I only got one. The rest you don't get. So that doesn't faze me. I'll go to 1,000 of them because just like that kid in the video that we were talking about earlier skating, it just takes that one. You land it. You got it. And that's all you needed was just that one. So you get – every time he messed up, that's basically somebody saying, nope, 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 no, no. But you just keep going. You keep going till one day, I found it. And then it'll work out. So in my mind, I'll go to 100 auditions. I'll go to 1,000 auditions. I'll go to 2,000 auditions. Something's going to click. Something's going to work out. Something's going to happen, especially because I'm going to classes. I'm doing the work. I'm learning. I'm studying it. In my mind, like something's going to happen. So that's kind of the lessons I've learned, and I'm trying to apply it over here now.
You fire me up, Paul. It's late at night here, and I'm ready to go get after it. So.
Yeah, let's get it, man. You know, you're like, awesome. We only got one life to live, and it goes by fast.
Yeah, it does.
And, you know, we've learned so much at this point of our lives, and we're still young people in the scope of a whole lifetime. Why does the pinnacle of life have to end so early? In my mind, I'm telling myself skateboarding is going to be the least successful thing I'm doing in life. Wow. I want to look back at it with joy and pride and everything, but I want to look back at it and be like, huh, you know, 20, 30 years from now, I want to look back at you know, highlights and pictures and be like, huh, that kid right there in that photo, he really thought he was doing it big at that point. He really thought he was doing it. Huh. Wow. If only he knew what was in store. That's like what I'm dreaming of, you know?
Wow. That's really cool. Well, thanks so much for sharing all this. I mean, there's
no problem.
so many great takeaways in there. I think your self-talk is, gosh, it's really simple but helpful. And the way you visualize, I mean, there's so many things, but I think just obviously the passion jumps out, like your passion for what you do. And it's like we were saying, you know, it's something that you've grown, and so, you know, it's not a gene or anything like that. It's just you've found things you've loved and you've worked at it, and it's really inspirational. So
that
appreciate
would be
you
your
sharing
number one
that.
Advice. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Thank you guys for having me. And
it's fun.
You know, good luck with everything you guys are doing, and you know, I can see your passion is leading you guys in a whole new direction too. So that's the key for everyone. Just find what you love, man. Find what you love, and just attack it. And something's gonna happen, you know.
Awesome. Can't wait to see you on the big screen.
All right, thanks, brother.
Are you going to movies or TV? What are you? Commercials?
I'm open to not really
whatever.
Commercials. I'm thankful, like, you know, I got a healthy skate career here and stuff still going. I don't need to go out for a Colgate commercial. I want to actually like work at it and like learn the craft and and you know, I'd love to, you know, TV show, especially the way TV and like Netflix and everything is this day, like movies, TV, it's like the line is blurred. There's so much great platforms to go after. So I'm just trying to get out there. I'm open to many ideas.
That's awesome.
So cool. Thanks, fellas.
This was great.
Thanks so much.
Thanks,
Paul.
Yeah.
No doubt.
You guys have a great one, and hopefully I'll talk to you guys soon.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Coach Your Brains Out. You can follow us on Twitter at Coach Your Brain or on Facebook, facebook.com/Coach Your Brains Out. If you like the show, please write us a review and spread the word.